All right, if everybody agrees, I think we should make a start. My apologies again for the late start. Thank you for your patience. Just to give you a bit of idea on timing, I want to finish tonight by 7 if we can. Well, and I think we need to finish by 7 because I see this as a series of several meetings, so I think short, sharp, focused meetings are the answer. Just on attendance, I've got apologies from Joachim Eisler and from Walter Chan. And just in terms of formality, we have two representatives here from the Society for Protection of the Harbour. Winston will be speaking as the representative, and Paul is here as an observer, just for the record. We also have, thank you, Winston, very much, thank you. Tabled, you'll find a very useful contribution from the Society of Protection of the Harbour, helping us understand the background to the challenge and the issues we're facing. And no doubt there'll be comment on this during the meeting and in subsequent meetings. This, I think, is a very important topic. It's a topic that surfaces, as you know, time and time again when we're talking about schemes. To me, it's all about frustrations, if you like. Frustrations with specific schemes which get thwarted or changed or even don't proceed, if you like, because of the fear, if you like, or the concern about the protection of the Harbour Ordinance, not necessarily an understanding of the Ordinance, but just the fact that we have the Ordinance, in a number of cases, is enough to deter and frighten off proponents, if you like. I think also it acts as a general deterrent to creativity and design. The fact that people have to all the time be thinking, how can I avoid, if you like, or mitigate running up against the Ordinance. So I think that's the context in which I'm looking at things here tonight. First of all, perhaps we talk and identify the constraints and how we are, you know, what those frustrations are and identify them. Both scheme-specific constraints, if you like, and more generic constraints. And then, obviously, second part of the exercise is how should we respond to these frustrations and what mechanisms might we consider, what solutions might we consider to enable us, if you like, to proceed a little more freely with our ambitions to enhance the waterfront. So that's really where I'm coming from tonight. But thank you all very much for joining this first meeting. Maybe in terms of the agenda, why don't we try and get the terms of reference out of the way quickly, and then we can get into talking about what are the issues and how we might address them. The paper in front of you, I think, sets out the terms of reference. I'll talk a bit about the workflow in a minute because I think we need to perhaps try and come to a conclusion a little quicker. And I'll explain why in a minute. We've drafted the terms of reference deliberately, if you like, in a somewhat all-embracing fashion, so that we have a general mandate, if you like, to consider the topic, its implications, the issues involved, and come up with recommendations to the government. And I would see, ultimately, subject to adoption by the Commissioner as preparing a paper which is submitted to government with recommendations about how we might resolve this particular challenge. And in terms of workflow, the suggestion here that it might take 6 months for us to come to our recommendation and conclusion, I would like to, with your agreement, set a deadline of the 1st July. 1st July is significant to a number of us because we may no longer be in post 1st July, or was it 1st August? 1st July. So I know it's very tight, but given the challenge of change of personalities, etc., and change of members of this committee, if we go on over the 1st July, if members think it's feasible and a reasonable target, I would like to suggest we target at least to finalise our recommendation at this working level, if you like, by the 1st of July. Might take a bit longer to get sign off by the Commission, but I think we should try to be done by the 1st of July. But members, comments on the terms of reference? I mean, to be honest, as chair, I intend to interpret them fairly widely, so don't worry too much about the small print. And I'd be interested to have your comments on the timescale as well, whether you think 1st July is too ambitious. Any comments on terms of reference? Can we adopt them? Oh. Yep. I promise you, Peter, they're not too draconian. Well, can we adopt them subject to Peter's views? If you have any strong views, we can record those, Peter. You had a chance to quickly read, Peter. To suggest by way of addition?
I should think about that for a moment. But
okay. Let's come back, shall we? We can come back at the end of the meeting, by which time you can scribble something down. Yep. Okay, thank you. What about time scale? Winston, sorry.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. May I first of all thank you for re-admitting me to this body.
You're very welcome, sir.
Right. The terms of reference in substance is very comprehensive, except one essential point. The PHO is a very, very short ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
It was expounded by the CBA judgment, which is a very long judgment, I think 37 pages. Actually, the law that you will be asked to apply is not in the PHO, but in the CBA judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I believe in the terms of reference, as Peter quite rightly say, and I support him completely, there should be a reference made to the Court of Final Appeal judgment,
okay,
where the term overriding public need appears. So maybe I suggest in paragraph A, after the purpose of the PHO as interpreted by the CBA judgment. That
good.
Would be helpful.
And that will pick up Peter's point as well.
It will include your point, Peter, I think, because the judgment really talks about a lot of things, including overriding public needs.
Well, it probably does, Winston. I agree. I did scribble something down here. My suggestion was under C, right at the end, where we have implementation of which will be in the interest of the public with regard to overriding public needs. That was what I was going to suggest. But as long as it covers it, frankly.
Yeah, I quite like Winston's all embracing reference to the court, the case.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to mention that other than the CFA judgment, there's subsequently also a 2008 High Court judgment which talked about the temporary and permanent reclamation. I just wonder if the group would like to, or if we are only talking about the overriding public need test, then that's the one to refer to. I just want to highlight that point, but for reference.
It does add something to the law. Actually, there are four judgments. Actually wrong, there are 11 judgments.
Okay,
all right.
Well.
Anyway, but the really salient judgment is the CFA. I think let's stick with that.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, very helpful. Thank you. Thoughts on time scale? 1st July, too ambitious? Where are we now? March, April, May, June. 4 months. Three or four meetings in that time scale?
Again, Chair.
Sure.
One caveat. We are all supportive of the 1st of July, but you may find a difficulty there because obviously we'll be officially asking for input from the Department of Justice. Surely it is their baby.
Mm.
the court decision is there for everyone to see. No doubt everyone has a different interpretation. We have put in our proportionality principle to be helpful. Let the legal department, let the Department of Justice tell us what they think the overriding public need means in practice, and also how to implement it. I'll be handing over a paper to your secretary, so there's no need for you to copy down, but I have three questions as well directed by our society to ask. The first is, these are perhaps legal questions. Why were the projects set up in paragraph 20 on page 9 and 10 of the paper not proceeded with? Secondly, was legal advice sought from the Department of Justice on those projects, in particular the impact of the Protected Harbour Ordinance thereon? And thirdly, if so, in fairness to the Harbour Fund Commission and the working group, that's us, such legal advice should be produced for our guidance and consideration. So 1st of July is fine, provided the Department of Justice plays more.
Okay, fine. We can recall that, certainly, Winston, please.
This is
Thomas? Thomas,
yes, yeah. Mr. Chairman, I would just like to flag up an issue. Now, of course, whatever this working group come up with, and if when the government consider taking forward anything, we will have to resort to legal advice from the Department of Justice. But I would just like to highlight that I don't think it would be possible for us to get the Department of Justice to agree to give legal advice to this working group, because it's not a government body proper. Because the Department of Justice is only the legal advisor to the government, so we can't really get Department of Justice to work by giving advice to us. We can try to, for some of the questions, if clarifications is needed, we can try to get some, as much
but
guidance.
They can presumably advise the Bureau.
Chairman, I just want to supplement what have been discussed in the past meeting. Indeed, it was arising from a discussion at the Kowloon Task Force that some members actually are interested in this issue. And then that issue was then raised to the Harbourfront Commission, and the Harbourfront Commission as a whole would like to look into this matter. Right now, I think the focus of this working group, because we are not deciding on a legal remedy at this stage, I think the Harbourfront Commission has looked at a lot of Harbourfront enhancement projects and initiatives over the years. I think our goal is to review and to examine what happened with some of the projects that the community actually had aspiration and also support, but it didn't proceed. It could be multiple reasons, but all of these projects somehow it related in one sense, and that is that they had PHO implications. So I think this the focus of the working group, subject to chairman and members' views, is to share these experiences and to ask the government for advice as to how best to proceed with our vision of building a good harbour for the public enjoyment. Subsequently, after receiving a recommendation or some suggestions from this working group, not on legal aspects, but rather on projects that you want to see through, or problems that you have encountered in these process, then the government, that is us, would take these recommendations and then to get with DOJ and also other relevant departments, may it be MD or other departments, to work on a workable solution. And that solution would definitely have to be legal and procedurally feasible for that to take place. So I think the process we're talking about two parts. Here we are, it's really to talk about the community aspirations and how things have gone in terms of these projects. So, Chairman.
All right. Well, it's back to my point about frustrations, I think. Please, Freddie.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to caution that if we take the attitude of asking DOJ to give a definition, asking for a kind of opinion, then we may be running into a kind of danger that looking at it from purely text, a legal text point of view, certain ideas couldn't really come across. As we had been discussing in many projects in here, like, for example, concepts of leisure, concepts of beauty, concepts of things that are not really directly relating to overriding public needs, you know. So from that perspective, maybe I think it's really coming back to this group that we have to propose something and ask DOJ to help us to see if there's any way to facilitate, in a way, to facilitate to work around the current framework, the current legal framework, to make sure things are legal and acceptable, but also meeting the public aspirations.
Peter? Sorry.
Well, I would just make a point that there is a distinction between public aspirations and public need.
Yes.
I think that needs to be made absolutely clear.
Yep.
Need is referred to in the PHS.
Chairman.
Sir, yes.
It will be our position that the government has a very important role to play. Our society is not employed by the government. We're not civil servants. We're not paid. The Department of Justice is paid to do a job for the community. The first thing they should do to you is to explain to you what is the laws of Hong Kong. It was not for us to produce for you the proportionality principle. This should be done by them. Just to explain to the community what is the law. What is wrong with that? They don't have to talk about culture or art or aspirations. They just have to talk what is the law. How do they understand by the term overriding public need, which is what we have done here. They should be asked to produce this and not us. Unless you know what the law is, how can you function? So, Chairman, it will be our position of the society that the first movement in any project is to ask the Department of Justice, hey, we have this proposal. We want to reclaim the whole harbour. Would that be lawful? We want to claim 1 square foot of North Point. Is that lawful? And that is what they need to do. They are there to advise, not us. All these projects are government projects. They're not being put forward by you and me as private individuals or enterprises. All these are government projects. Why shouldn't they advise the government whether it's lawful or not? As a first step, not to waste the time of the community. By all means, tell them the aspirations of the community. It is a very important factor. But in the long run, whether it's lawful or not, it's a matter of law. We don't want this decided by the court again. We try to work together to come to a very good compromise in a sensible but lawful way. Our society has never been obstructive. If you go through the 11 projects mentioned in this paper, Chairman, according to our records, and please do check up your records, we have never lodged a single objection. And yet, for 5 years, nothing has been done. So I'm here to ask why. I feel as frustrated as you. I've been on this meeting 5 years ago, but nothing has been done. Why? Not by us. Whose fault?
Okay, Winston. Well, we're not getting an answer to DOJ tonight. I mean, I think things have been explained to us that it may be difficult to get them to respond to us officially, so to speak. But why don't we ask Christine and team to explore how we might engage with DOJ? And that's something that go on in parallel to the work we're going to start tonight, I hope. But I think what we should have tonight is a useful discussion, if you like, about ambition, aspiration, and as I said earlier, the frustrations that we've encountered, both at the scheme level, if you like, and also in terms of our overall aspiration to enhance the waterfront. Let's see if we can narrow it down to some specific questions, because if we're going to talk to DOJ, we'll have to have some specific questions to ask them or to some examples to show them and say, this is what we'd like to do, why is there a problem, et cetera, et cetera. So can we start with looking at frustrations, as I call them? Sorry. Christine, I think you've done some work, haven't you? Why don't you start? Just start the ball rolling anyway.
Sure, thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Members would have in hand a working paper number 02/2017. Indeed, I would like to specifically point out that Annex C to this paper was HCN paper 08/2016. That was a background information note on PHO that was presented to HC on the 21st of June 2016. That note, I hope, was an attempt to outline the provisions of PHO, including the subsequent CFA judgment, and also to try to explain the government's position on our interpretation of the law. But back to the main issue we think at hand here for the working group is to review what has happened after the implementation of the law. And this is a PowerPoint that basically it just summarizes the paper, and I want to show members some pictures as well. So this is the background that I actually mentioned already. That is, this a working group, it's an initiative that was taken aboard by the HC because HC actually had the, because it faced a lot of some sort of issues in the past, and it wanted to set up this working group to see what could be possibly be done and what are the challenges and issues at hand. Just this is a very brief introduction, and that is the PHO first came into force in 97, and I would like to hear to talk about the at the Legislative Council deliberation. The chairman of the then Bills Committee had this to say. That is to ensure the PHO is to ensure that Victoria Harbour will be protected against excessive reclamation, and it establishes a presumption against reclamation in the harbour. In relation to a judicial review against a draft Wantai North OZP plan in 2004, this is actually a very important ruling by the Court of Final Appeal. Among others, of course, it's a very heavy judgment, as Mr. Chi mentioned. So here I just sort of list out the important crux of it, and that is the ruling set out the purpose of the PHO is to protect and preserve the harbour by establishing a presumption against reclamation, and the presumption could only be rebutted by establishing an overriding public need for reclamation. And then a public need would only be regarded as overriding if it's compelling and present, and if there's no reasonable alternative to reclamation. And even if there is required to have some reclamation, it should not go beyond the minimum, which is required by the overriding public need. So the decision is that there must be an overriding public need for reclamation, and these a need must be based on cogent and convincing materials. So this is a single demanding test on fulfilling the PHO requirement. On rebutting the statutory presumption, CFA ruling also propounded a single and demanding test, as I just mentioned. And here I just want to read out to members paragraph 52 of the judgment, which I think it's quite summarized, sort of highlights an important point. And that is, having regard to the demanding nature of the overriding public need test and the requirement that there must be cogent and convincing materials to satisfy the test, the burden on those seeking to rebut the presumption is a heavy one. And that is so because entirely commensurate with what is at stake, and that is the irreversible loss to the extent of the reclamation of a special asset and a natural heritage belonging to the people of Hong Kong. I think it's HC has always shared this vision that is the Victoria Harbour is a very special asset and it's a natural heritage that to be treasured. Because of this important status of the Victoria Harbour, that's why we need a very demanding test before any reclamation can be carried out on the harbour. I think we have always recognised this important principle. The government is actually committed to very committed to protecting and preserving the harbour, and there are two outcome out of it, and that is in 2004, in August, first of all, it issued a set technical circular, which I'm going to elaborate, and it also made a public statement that there will be no new reclamation plan in Victoria apart from the then ongoing CR3 and WD2 projects. The technical circular, which is also attached to the paper, it's important because it provides a guideline for all government departments to comply with when they are taking forward projects that involve reclamation. It's important to point out that the technical circular applies to all reclamation projects, regardless of size, and they also apply to both public and private projects, meaning that even if it's a project initiated by the private sector, as long as it happens with within the boundaries of the harbour, they would have to comply with PHO and also the technical circular for those public officers who are responsible for helping to take forward that project. It also set out that it is the responsibility of the proponents of individual facilities, and that would be client bureaus and departments, to prove with engineering input from relevant works department that the proposal they put forward would meet the overriding public need test. This is important to understand that all project proponents, each department and bureau responsible for each project, they would be responsible to ensure that the project they are taking forward would comply with this technical circular and also and the henceforth the PHO. Now, according to the technical circular, for each area of reclamation, each project proponent would have to answer three questions. And that would be, first one, whether there is a compelling and present public need. And number two, it's whether there is any reasonable alternative. And number three, whether the proposed reclamation extent is the minimum. This echoes with the CFA judgment ruling, and each of these answers must be clearly documented and substantiated by cogent and convincing material. The technical circular also prescribed for the need for early public consultation, the possible invitation of independent expert advice when necessary. It also provides a flow chart in which each client bureaus and departments would have to follow straightly in order to justify that their project is complying with the overriding public need test in different scenarios. Now, since the CFA judgment in 2004, we are aware that only three projects have been able to fulfill the above test, and they are CR3 and WD2, Sha Tin to Central Link, and Central Kowloon Route. In the paper, and also the bulky annexes, we have provided the relevant CCM report here, and I'm just going to go through them briefly. First of all, when we talk about CR3, the project itself is to provide land for essential transport infrastructure on the Central Wantai Harbour Front. And in relation to taking forward this project, CEDD, which is the client department, actually conducted two reviews in respect of CR3. The first review happened in 2003, and at that time they used the High Court judgment, which propounded three tests, and the review concluded that the CR3 meets these three tests. But then subsequently, after the CFA judgment that we talked about, and it sort of propounded this overriding public need test, the second review, which is the further review in 2004, then applies this public need test to the CR3 project. And the review report, which is actually at Annex E to the paper, it's a total of 116 pages. It set out the justifications by looking into the structural design of each major element under CR3. It contained detailed elaborations on the need for the Central Wantai Bypass and related work infrastructure, and it examined and eliminated other possible alternatives with sufficient reasoning, and also provide some affirmations by independent experts. Now, the second project is the WT2 project. It aimed to provide land with the project area for the construction of a trunk road. It also provides an opportunity for the development of waterfront promenade joining that of a new central waterfront. CEDD was also the project team to execute this project, this work, and they also did a CCM report in 2007 to look into whether there would be an overriding public need for the trunk road. They made references to various traffic and transport studies, and also contain recommendations of an expert panel forum. The CCM report is also annexed at Annex F to the paper, and it's a total of 100 pages. It demonstrated that there was a compelling and present need for the trunk road. It identified all possible alignments and no feasible, no reclamation alignment for the trunk road. It recommended the option with least amount of reclamation selected, and also summarized public views and suggested a preferred scheme after examining all the engineering requirements. And the third project is the Sha Tin to Central Link. It is part of the government's transportation policy and part of the railway development strategy. It involved a temporary reclamation and a replacement of fender piles. As mentioned, subsequent to another judgment, temporary reclamation will also be subjected to the PHO. CEDD, this project was actually taken forward by MTRCL, and they also compiled a CCM report, which is a little bit shorter, which is 26 pages, and it provided extensive evidence on their proposal, and after investigating a number of no reclamation options and account for exact areas of reclamation and set out public consultation activities and views. The fourth project is the third project, the last project, is the CKR project. It comprises a trunk road across central Kowloon, linking with Kowloon at Yamate Interchange with the Kai Tak development. And a section of the tunnel also involves temporary reclamation. For this project, the team to take it forward was a highways department. And in accordance to the technical circular, they also put together a CCM report, which is 23 pages. And it included detailed traffic justifications, assessment of the estimates of economic returns, and also various other construction methods and engineering perspectives, as well as public views collected. So these are the three projects that we witnessed, the compliance with the PHO with the use of a CCM report, a comprehensive CCM report. And now I think it appears to us that for mega projects, relevant bureaus and departments have demonstrated that they have the capability, including resources, for compliance with the PHO, and subsequently the projects are ongoing or implemented. Then I think the working group can now then look into what about like smaller scale projects? What have the HC and its task forces come across projects that may have PHO implications? And I think after looking into all the minutes and records, we have been able to identify these Harbourfront Enhancement Initiatives that would have PHO implications. And allow me to go through them briefly. And they are pontoons, breakwaters, marinas, enhancement of waterfront promenades, seawalls, and also piers and landing steps. We tried to find some case studies for easier comprehension of what we try to achieve here. Now, first of all, about pontoons, I think the KY, the group on waterline interface, once looked into the provision of barrier-free access facilities in between the land and also some vessels. At that because at present, without a BFA facility, wheelchair users may find it difficult to get onto the land without a public landing facilities. And at that time, there was a suggestion that maybe we could employ floating pontoon to as BFA uses for wheelchair users to get on and off the board easier. And at that time, under the PHO, reclamation actually has this definition. Reclamation means any works carried out or intended to be carried out for the purpose of forming land from the seabed or foreshore. Land is not further defined under the PHO, so the definition of land has always been an important point for consideration. And I also want to point out that in section 3.1, bracket 1 of the PHO, it establishes a statutory principle, recognizing that the harbour is a special asset and a natural heritage for Hong Kong people. And that's why when we asked whether this BFA provision using a floating pontoon would have PHO implications, these are actually the legal advice that we were given at that time. And that is whether the pontoon, even though it's a floating pontoon, even though some people may regard it as a vessel, is regarded as land, is really subject to, first of all, the dimension of the pontoon itself, the duration and interval or the placement technique of the structure at the sea, and also how easy or frequent the pontoon could become mobile. Because these aspects, these criteria, would affect whether it could be regarded as land. And secondly, because of the statutory principle prescribing the harbour to be protected and preserved, there is also this view that if when there was water, now there's land. So if the pontoon serves as a platform that people can walk on, or you can place some equipment on top of it, then there could be this possibility of understanding this pontoon at not complying with the statutory principle. And
sorry, Christine, it actually says forming land, doesn't it? It doesn't use the one word land in isolation. It says forming land.
Reclamation means any works carried out or intended to be carried out for the purpose of forming land.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Did you ask the question whether this was deemed to be forming land as against just land?
Yes.
Because there's a major difference, obviously.
We asked in compliance whether it's a compliance with the PHO. Yeah. And then for breakwater, there was this case in Kowloon Task Force, right? Kowloon Task Force said talk about a private proponent wants to build a yacht center at Yau Tong Bay. And in order for that to happen, they have to provide some protected water, some safe water for that marina to be built. And in that connection, breakwater would have to be built. And eventually, the project proponent decided not to pursue with the proposal. And one of the quoted reasons by the private proponent was that their legal advice concluded that there could be difficulty in satisfying the overriding public need test with the construction of breakwater. And that was the information we were given by the private proponent. And a third possible enhancement initiative, it's the building of waterfront promenade. Now, the picture here on the right, it's indeed the part in Kennedy Town that members may be quite familiar with now. People, you can see that the road used by cars, actually, it's directly abutting the seawall already. So there is no passageway or promenade for members of the public to walk through. So that was this proposal, indeed, by the Central and Western District Council once to construct a cantilever slab supported by some board pipes, piles on the landward side so that like a waterfront promenade could be built. And then they sought legal advice at that time, and the legal advice came back and said that the slab would remove the enjoyment of the sea because it sort of has this headroom issue and covers the sea of the area under the slab and would likely constitute reclamation. And the other possible enhancement measure, it's on seawall. If the existing vertical seawall, some of them, would have to be replaced, I mean, in the future, by sloping a vertical but wave-absorbing seawall, like the one on the right here, there would likely be reclamation. And that and why is that the case? Because members can see that they are directly abutting the seashore line here. So, and also there is immediate use on the land side. So if a straight seawall has to become a sliding one, in order to avoid reclamation, the only option is to slide back, right, on the landward side. But unfortunately, because of the use and the limited space there, then it's sort of it's difficult both ways for the seawall to be enhanced in that sense, unless unless it has to be retreated on the land side. And this is the last slide, which is about piers and landing steps. Members of the Kai Tak Task Force may remember that there were proposals of having like piers and landing steps in different parts of Kai Tak. And generally speaking, if we have to build a new landing steps or piers, unless we claw back on the landward side, it would constitute reclamation because it would then form land from the seashore. So there would be the need to decide which way it cuts back, right, to for that to be formed. So this is only an attempt to trawl through what we have seen in the past year, I think since the formation of the HC, some projects that had come to the attention of this commission and different task forces, and that it has spiritual implications. We would resort to relay these to the working group and see whether you would like some of them, you know, to take place and how that is to be done under this present circumstances. So, Chairman, this is the presentation.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I think it's a useful start. I mean, it gives us a list of items and examples which have arisen, if you like, over the last 4 or 5 years. Members, just thoughts on the examples. Are there any areas that we've discussed in committee or commission that are not on this list? Any other areas where people feel we should be looking to seek access, seek enhancement? Please, KY.
I think I can think of a couple of examples. Like, say, for example, at one stage, in the early stage of Harbour Front Enhanced Committee, like WD2 project, think about can we actually allow more people to go out to the typhoon shelter, I mean, Causeway Bay typhoon shelter, break water. To do that, the most convenient way is a whole bridge that can be a drawbridge, like the London Tower Bridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, we were told that no, that you cover some of the water, even if it does not obstruct the passage of vessels that does not protect the harbor. So this is an example. And for the cantilever slab, again, another example that we have probably brainstormed is the again, Causeway Tunnel Shelter, because I spent so much time on that as well. There's the waterfront, which basically outside Victoria Park. It's so narrow from Noon Gun all the way to the Causeway fire station. It's so narrow, and if you can have some sort of cantilever slab, that will actually make the promenade or the waterfront much friendlier, a much pleasant environment, and allow more people to use it even for a walking through, because it's not even conducive for walking now, because it's so narrow. And what is ironical is about each of these, whether it's pontoon, whether it's the breakwater, it's all pointed to actually the PHO or the presumption against what is seen as reclamation actually deter us from making the harbour front more enjoyable or the harbour more enjoyable. I think that is the most ironical issue, including the breakwater. Because if we can actually easily replace, or relatively, of course it's always costly, the breakwater, some of which are fairly aged infrastructure anyway, then the harbour will be less choppy. So it's overall the entire harbour will benefit by having a less choppy harbour. Right? But sorry, we can't do that. So these are the issues that maybe we could see together.
And that we should add our famous boardwalk to the list as well.
Yeah.
Please, Freddie.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. There is also another example. I vaguely remember there was a proposal to have a link bridge linking the tip of the Kai Tak runway to Kwun Tong. And because of the span, there was one proposal that in the middle of it, there needs to be some kind of pile. No matter how small and how minimal it is, it will be driven into the water. And that contravene with the PHO. Obviously, if you do a large span structure, technically it's feasible, but then it becomes financially impossible for such project to be further considered. So I think sometimes we have cases where we do actually need to construct constructions into the water, but it's just a very small area. And that actually, I believe, has become an example being quoted in the proportionality as principle to consider the benefit, things that can be brought about by sacrificing a small area of the water.
Thank you. Winston, please.
Chairman, I'm really amazed from the government's paper and from the members to say that you can't do anything about reclamation. The ordinance stops reclamations altogether. That is not true. When I drafted the ordinance 23 years ago, it was suggested that there should be no reclamation, and I overruled that. That would be irresponsible. I was then on the town planning board, and I recognized that in cases you do need, in the interest of the community, reclamation. Like the projects you mentioned, they sound great. Why can't you do it? But it doesn't make it easy. Not even the big developers or the big companies can say, I want to do this in the harbour and get away with it. And government will not say no. We are deliberately making it difficult so as to protect not you, not the 7 million people of Hong Kong, but your children and your grandchildren. It's under the principle of sustainable development. You don't do it unless you show a very good reason. Nothing wrong with that. You have all got the wrong interpretation of the ordinance. That's why the legal department must give you a clear legal interpretation. I would like to ask the government's representative a question on paragraph 19 that you just read out. You said there did not appear to be any cases at the bottom of page 5 and top of page 6, small-scale reclamations that went through the procedures as a guide in the circular. Some of these projects brought to the discussion of the sea and so on. You said that you could not get on with those small-scale reclamations. Why? Who stopped you? We didn't. You never put it to the public. You never tried to get through the procedure of the ordinance as prescribed by the Court of Final Appeal. You see, today I think all of us maybe is under the misconception that there is something wrong with the ordinance. There isn't. What you're talking about is the Court of Final Appeal decision, and it is supported by 7 judges. 5 on the Court of Final Appeal, and then the court, High Court Judge Kalau Ji, and High Court Judge Michael Hartman. 7 judges unanimously support the ordinance, and to support the ordinance, they add in further clarification and further requirements. So what you're being asked to do is to overrule not the ordinance, but the judgment of 5 or 7 judges. And because why? It doesn't seem to be any good reason why. Who says that you can't do all these reclamations? We didn't object. Anything that is good for the community, we will support. In fact, a number of the 11 projects, some of them are thought of great and should be done without delay. So I'm here as frustrated as you are. Why didn't they proceed? I'm still waiting for an answer from the government. Not our fault. But
just to clarify for us, Winston, we can only do them if we can demonstrate overriding public need, yes? All these
they
things.
Haven't done it.
No, no, all the things we've listed we can only do if we can demonstrate overriding public need.
Why didn't
but
they
we
try?
Can't.
Why didn't they try?
Could I just add in something there? I mean, of these six, 5 relate to actual use and safety of the harbour.
Mm-hmm.
They have nothing to do with the promenade at all. Only one is, you could say, didn't relate to water users in one form or another, and that's the promenade, which allows the public to get to the harbourfront for enjoyment in the first
mm-hmm.
place.
Mm-hmm.
So where is the problem? And I agree with Winston. I'm at a loss to see why we haven't really proceeded in a more vigorous way.
Well, Christine, just help us a little. I assume that it was, you know, you advise us that we shouldn't. You advise Commission or the task force that there were problems or difficulties. Presumably, that was based on advice. No, please, do you want to speak? Yeah.
I think we are trying here to share what happened in different cases. And each of the cases that I presented or chose to present today had different reasons why it didn't proceed. Say, for instance, the breakwater that I mentioned in Yao Tong Bay, the private proponent informed us subsequently that after seeking legal advice, their own legal advice, they didn't proceed with it. And then, say, for instance, the one at the Cantilever Slab, DC had this initiative, and then they sought legal advice from the government, and then they, because the legal advice told them that it might constitute a reclamation, then no action followed. And I think for that particular case. So each particular case would have a different set of background and circumstances. We are sharing with members what happened, but as to pinpoint to exactly what are the reasons and underlying belief, it really depends. It would have to go back to the project proponent and trawl through for them. But I think it would be just fair to say that for mega projects, I think members would agree that they would have easier access to resources and also professional inputs as to compile the CCM to set aside the overriding public need test. But for smaller scale projects, I think they are facing a different set of constraints and also circumstances. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm just speaking from my own experience in my projects working with public offices. I would like to share some view with you. I think the biggest problem is, of course, I have a lot of respect for Mr. Chu and your colleagues when you drafted this. With all due respects, I share your passion. In fact, the whole Hong Kong Institute of Architects share your passion and principles. But what actually happens is when the law and the ruling of the CFA pass to the legal professions as a whole, as a general whole, they just look at it in a very literal sense. So literal that they take this idea of need to the absolute literal interpretation. For example, we don't need to breathe air. We only need oxygen. If you can filter out everything, you can just breathe the oxygen and you can still survive. So you don't need to breathe the hydrogen, the nitrogen, the everything in here, nothing in here. We don't need this. This is fashion. But if you talk about need, then it's totally different. So I think when the thing gets to a court case situation, a court case scenario, when people are being literal about certain words, that becomes the barrier, the biggest barrier. For example, we're talking about protection of harbor, but many legal professionals take this literally as a protection of the water areas within the harbor, irrespective of the activities associated with the harbor. The very things that we want to keep the vitality of the harbor that we so treasure of. So I think it is really an issue of how maybe we can work on this a little bit more by demonstrating how to get around this literal interpretation. In a way, they are not wrong because they only have the document in front of them and they interpret the document word by word. I don't know how to get around this to help the public officers to have more confidence to try out a few cases and then use those cases as precedent cases to facilitate subsequent projects to move on. This is my experience sharing.
Sorry, just a question. Do you think, I mean, from your discussions with DOJ, et cetera, and the various cases, would it help to try and define what is reclamation? Because I don't think it's, certainly, I don't think it's clear what is reclamation.
It's better to define what is land.
PHO only has a very short sentence of reclamation as I've read out, and there's no a definition of land or formation of land.
Winston, I'll come to the other people. Sorry, just on that one question, a definition of formation of land, would that be helpful?
You'll find that in the fourth High Court judgment by Michael Hartman.
Right.
It's very clear. Government was trying to do temporary reclamation,
yep.
And it was clearly defined what is reclamation in that judgment. I can bring it to you next time if you want.
Okay. Sorry, lots of hands going up. Please, KY, and then I'll come down.
Chair, I don't think the problem lies with definition for reclamation. It's really the legal advice that comment or the view on how to protect the harbor. And what not to put it, what is not protecting the harbor. I think all those of us who actually have been working on the harborfront for more than a decade understand that there's actually no misunderstanding about the PHO, the ordinance itself. That is very often, for example, just like the case raised by the Cantilever Step, raised by the Central Western District Council, is basically based on legal advice. And my own observation, maybe I'm wrong, but my own observation is that legal advice is like a shifting goalpost. Let me quote one example. When TDC want to have this atrium expansion, again, I was involved in suggesting them to a public engagement and things like that. They were able to build that atrium expansion over a piece of water as long as you do not drive tile into it. But later on, well, just like the Cantilever Step, that is considered as no longer acceptable. So it is getting more, the advice we get is getting more stringent and draconian as time goes by. And well, of course, in this particular case about the Convention Experience Center, what is ironical is subsequently we actually reclaimed that piece of land because we can satisfy the overriding public need to build the Central Wanzhou Bypass. And they are now building on something which they cost them much more to construct, but at the end, they are now still covering the land, other than half.
Please, yeah.
Thank you, Chairman. The way I read the definition of recommission in the ordinance is that it does say very clearly that it's to carry out for purpose of farming land from the seabed or foreshore. Yeah, from this sort the explicit understanding of this, so anything that you are not touching the seabed or foreshore should not be land. But unfortunately, we did have legal advice from time to time that this is land. Any coverage of the water area is land. That's a misinterpretation by somebody, authority enough to give us advice. Another concern I have is actually that technical circular issued give people the impression that you need to go through a rigorous test before you go ahead in order not to face any legal challenge. And in reality, no matter how we see all these minor projects, how well they are, in Hong Kong there's not a single project that has no opponents. There's always opponents. If there's only one opponent, try to challenge it at court. That's something that every project proponent tries to avoid. It is on the conservative side. That's my understanding of the problem. We do need to clear that. The way definition of recommendation is very clear to me.
Shuki, thank you.
I think rather than this is a definition problem, I think this is a mindset problem. Now, the reason why I'm saying that, because we all assume reclamation is harmful to the harbour. But what about if the project is not doing harm to the harbour? And what about projects that actually can bring benefits to the harbour, improving the functions of the harbour? Now, the reason why I'm saying that, because we have experience in submitting projects in environmentally sensitive areas, like in Deep Bay. Mm-hmm. Now, we follow strictly the environmental impact assessment. The principle behind more or less actually covered by this harbor protection ordinance. We have established the need, which is important if we have to develop in the sensitive areas. Then we have to go through a very stringent procedure. I think our green group friends, they are very familiar with. We have to demonstrate why we cannot avoid that project. Whether in other location, can that be feasible? If it's not possible, within the site, can we avoid within the site any sensitive features, habitats within the site? And following that, the avoidance, we have to prove that whether we can minimize the adverse impact onto the environment. Through mitigation measures, like we call it the restoration, creation, enhancement, whatever we call that, we have to demonstrate that the entire project will not create adverse impact onto the environment. And even as a result, we still have some residual adverse impact. I think we have to provide compensation to the project. Now, this process actually brings all stakeholders, including members of the public, into several rounds for public consultation. The interactive process actually allows the project proponent and the members of the public, including pressure groups, to come together, modify the project, and fine-tune the project, and go through the statutory process, and eventually got approval from the Director of Environmental Protection. And I think there are some similarities about how we tackle projects that is going to be proposed in sensitive areas like the harbour. I think the Environmental Impact Assessment Ordinance, actually, which is very mature, very well established, there are a lot of expertise, is globally acceptable. In terms of nature conservation principles, we are talking about precautionary principle, although not proportionality principle. We're talking about no-let-loss principle. But the definition of no-let-loss, whether it's actually talking about the physical area or the function of the area. So I think there is a way that maybe perhaps government can help us, whether we can borrow the EIAO concept. In fact, my understanding is all the reclamation projects approved in the past, I don't know how many years, most of them, actually, they have gone through the EIAO process. Mm-hmm. And in the EIAO process, the ordinance, reclamation is actually a designated project. But interestingly enough, reclamation, if less than 1 hectare, is not justified to be a designated project. Mm-hmm. And also, this reclamation project actually applies to the entire territory, not just the harbour. So I'm questioning whether we can follow this statute, this practice, and fine-tune perhaps the definition of the designated project and introduce some elements of the harbour reclamation into the EIAO process, so that small projects, whether it's submitted by government, by private individual, or by private, or even by NGO, can bring all parties together and go through the process rather than we are sort of wrestling in terms of definition, legal principles, that there is a process in place. Can we just fine-tune that? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mm. Interesting and innovative. Yeah. Winston, please.
Interesting question that I would like to share with you as citizens of Hong Kong, and let's say you are, you know, very supportive of Hong Kong's environment, and also you're looking after the benefit of future generations. We have already lost, according to my calculations, about 52% of the harbour, right? So the question is, where and when do we stop? You gentlemen are very innovative, inventive, and so on, and very good designers. I mind that. But you're talking about an asset which has already been halved. What is remaining, according to the judgment of the Court of Final Appeal, Mr. Andrew Lee, what remains of the harbour is precious. We can't do what we did before. If we pursue all the interesting ideas that's come to my desk, another half of the, another, say, one quarter of the harbour would be gone. Pontoons here, very nice floating barges there, you know, houseboats, etc. Very beautiful ideas, you know. But we still talk about the harbour. Therefore, if I could refer to your first paragraph, first page of the bundle you have, and this is our vision for the harbour. May I, please? We spend some time preparing this bundle for you, which should be in front of you. Page one. Our vision statement, right? We say that we should regard the harbour as the same status as West Lake of China. Why not? It's a beautiful harbour. Everyone come to Hong Kong to look at the harbour. It's a great attraction for tourists. It is our heritage. It's the treasure of China and Hong Kong. This is how we should look at the harbour, not as a source of land, not a source of space for development. Where do we draw the line? If we don't stop now, shall we stop in 20 years' time when we have a quarter left?
But Winston, in fairness, people sitting around this table, none of them are thinking in those terms. None of them are thinking in those terms.
Yeah, I'm addressing the question whether the idea of protecting harbour is something that we should all support.
Well, we do.
But if we start, if we do not defend this harbour ordinance and the Court of Final Appeal judgments, you let things through. Where do we stop? That is the question you have to consider.
So sorry to interrupt, but
sorry,
we've got too many conversations going. Sorry.
Therefore, the conclusion is what is proposed is sensible and makes sense. We have been very responsible in coming up with the answer. You balance the two: the benefit to the community as against the damage to the harbour. Please suggest a better test. I can't.
Winston, when you did that research, were there other possibilities that you considered?
There's no another. We've gone to America to see if there's anything concerning San Francisco Bay. There isn't. We've gone to Sydney. There's no law protecting Sydney Harbour. There, they have something called democracy. There, people vote their politicians into office. Here we don't. We don't haven't got full democracy here. And that's why we need the law. Before you change about think about changing the law, think, where will it end?
I don't think we're trying to think about changing the law. I think what we're trying to seek, if you like, is a more rational interpretation, if you like.
Yeah, I'm very concerned with the last sentence in your paper, which I just received this morning.
Which is
very, very worrying. Yeah, making legislative changes. Very, very worrying.
I think Mr. Chi is referring to the workflow that is part of the terms of reference. That is actually the paper Working Paper Group 01. That's the terms of reference. And in there is actually this annex to the paper. And that was the possible workflow for the working group. So members, there was such a suggestion, because when we talked about the technical circular, and also, I mean, we're looking for a possible way out, right? So members could feel free to propose otherwise of the possible workflow, but that was only for reference. Yeah.
Okay. So changing legislation is only one option, one alternative. Okay.
One suggestion to all of you,
sure.
Try and apply for your projects. If the result is not good, everyone thinks it's no from the community, including us, then we may think about a solution. But there is no problem today. You never tried. They never tried. We never objected. So where's the problem? We are very pro reclamation if it is needed. Some of these projects are great. I can count to five. But why not? So let us work together. Don't change the law yet. Try. If it don't work, then change the law.
No, we're not talking about changing the law. Please, Freddie.
I think it's fair to say on behalf of everyone here, we respect this law very much. We all think protection of the harbor as a principle, we all agree to it. We all buy into it. We all support you and see the passions behind all this. So we are on the same side, at least up to this point. But then in practice, we are architects, planners, developers, surveyors, and conservationists. In practice, we run into a brick wall or by the legal professions, because they take a very different view as we do when it comes to interpreting this law. Very often, I find it very difficult to get past this barrier because of the financial implication behind of the potential legal challenges that can easily go into millions of dollars. So a lot of times, for a small project, medium scale project, it got killed. It just got killed at that point. So it never can be escalated to a level to actually put to the test for things that we believe in. We believe in the original intention when this law was drafted. We couldn't get through this point. So I think we are here to work out a mechanism to help get through this bottleneck, other than to repeal the law or to change the law.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Shuki, please.
Actually, I can remember another example in Deep Bay, the Ramsar site. WWF, I mean, is the operator of the Ramsar site. They were proposing a boardwalk in the Ramsar site. Now, there is a system in place under the EIAO, or Town Planning Ordinance. So they put in the application. They went through the system of application, public consultation. They got the approval because actually that boardwalk is actually enhancing the function of the Ramsar site. So I think what we need is actually a process, a procedure that we can apply and someone can make decision. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thomas Christie, maybe help us a bit. I mean, you said that DOJ wouldn't engage with us, but presumably they would engage with you. I mean, on what basis would you suggest we start a dialogue with DOJ? Because obviously we have to carry them with us. Is it giving them a series of case studies and asking them for their view on the individual situations? Is it asking for an interpretation?
Now, thank you, Chairman. Well, first of all, I think what Christine, the Harvard unit, has presented today is a compilation of cases that have come across the Harbor Bank Commission. And for those which work on by the government, it is in the process that the legal advice has already been taken into account. And Christine has also mentioned that even in some cases where the project proponent is a private party, we are aware that they have taken into account legal advice. So I think what we present today is a fact of a statement of fact, which has already reflected the legal position seen by the respective project proponents. Now, if of course there are specific issues like those which has been mentioned today, like whether cantilever, boardwalk would constitute reclamation that would be caught by PHO, well, we would be happy to be the middleman, if I may call it this way, to reflect these issues. And I think we have done it. I just want to clarify, it's not that we don't try. I think we have tried in the case of the boardwalk under the Island Eastern Corridor. We try very hard on various ways to say, well, first we try whether it won't become reclamation if it is stay under the shadow of the corridor itself. We didn't succeed. And then now we are now trying to get to the point of having CEDD do this study to prepare the cogent and convincing material to try to justify the overriding public needs. So it's not that we don't try, it's just that there has to be a process. So for instance, if today's working group, there are certain specific issues which the working group would like to have perhaps if not greater clarity, at least some reflections of how the government see those projects. I think we would be able to help by at least getting advice for us, for ourselves, and then we try to reflect it as best as we could. But what I try to underscore at the beginning is I wouldn't want members to get the impression that the Department of Justice would be in a position to advise this working group, which they can't. Thank you.
Peter, sorry, yes, and then Ivan, yes. Oh, no, you've got to go. All right, fine. Peter, please. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, I go back again to what I said a few moments ago. I would have thought that anything associated with the working of the harbour, I'm astonished that it wouldn't be allowed as a matter of course. I mean, the working of the harbour, safety of the harbour, safety of mooring vessels, getting to and from vessels, if that isn't a basic function of the working of the harbour, then I don't know what is. For anything else, we come down inevitably to overriding public need. And I think this needs to be activated. I'm completely confused about what's been happening over the last few years. I didn't, in fact, know that the Development Bureau had been taking up these various issues and coming to some sort of abstract conclusion on them. I'm still confused about the process. It's been my understanding all along that we would take a project of overriding public need, and that has always, through our discussions, being the boardwalk. Now, Thomas or Christine said a moment ago that consultants were appointed to go through the entire process again, which in effect, as I set out in my 2 or 3 page document a few weeks ago, meant literally starting over again. It meant employing somebody from the university who, and I again wrote back at the time of the meeting 6 months ago, put forward in an incredibly complicated way that virtually invited a new shopping list. On the central task force before our last one, we had something that was sprung on the task force entirely. We'd never seen it before. It was a massively enlarged feature standing outside the alignment of the Island Eastern Corridor. That's been done. I don't know why. just to go back again, you know, we actually had...
Sorry, we're going to be talking about this on Monday.
Yep. Well, yes, we are, and I hope we are, and I hope we're going to get somewhere on it. But, I mean, surely what we're talking about now is the ability to put forward something that we all think is worthwhile in a proper form that meets the standards that have been set under the ordinance. It's minimal, it's not maximized. But for some reason, there seems to be a blockage in the system, and we're not pushing this through. If we were to submit it somehow, under some way, and I don't understand why, if we have an ordinance with something that says something can be allowed under an overriding public need, why there isn't a mechanism to actually submit it for a legal decision. Now, maybe that can be explained to us, but I'm still lost in that, I have to say. And it seems that we've gone through quite literally years of
Chairman, we're wasting a lot of time. 5 years ago, we approved a number of projects in principle right here on, mm-hmm. on the Carbon Commission. I was happy with it. I kept silent. Mm-hmm. It's not for me to say, well done. This is not my job. My job is to stop reclamation. But if it is good, I don't stop it. I will give my silent consent. And then having discussed the matter at length here with our approval, nothing happens. So I'm still asking the government, why? Are you wasting our time by coming before us, having got our blessings, you go back and say, well, we better not do it. That's not on. We need a decision-making body, sensible one, not the Department of Justice, and apparently not the Development Department. They are perhaps too nervous. Let us make a sensible decision for the community. This body may be a very good one, provided we are respected, or maybe even the Harbour Fund Authority.
Yeah, but we are only advisory at the end of the day. So
I know,
the
but then our advice should be worth something.
Yeah, sure.
We're not wasting our time here, are we?
No. Christine, yeah.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I just wish to clarify that the PHO, is, as Mr. Chi mentioned, is a very short ordinance. What we have in hand is the PHO, all the judgments, and in the judgment, although as laymen, we can say, oh, this is a major project and the others is a minor project. But according to these judgments and the PHO, there's no differentiation of the scale and nature of project according to these judgments. And allow me to say that there's actually no process as defined by the law or subsequent judgments that we could have a process to say, for instance, a commission or a credible body to decide on whether this particular project is worth doing. The law only said, according to the CFA judgment, that each reclamation project has to satisfy overriding public need tests. And I also want to state that any individual in this society can actually apply for a legal challenge to a particular project. And it means that no public body or officer or anybody could say in advance of the implementation of the project that it is completely legal challenge free, so to speak. So despite the good intention of trying to differentiate, and we as laymen could say this is a small project, but according to the law that we're given, including the judgments, it hasn't provided us with a mechanism or even the criteria to differentiate between different projects and then to say that some are worth not proceeding on this route and some others do. So in that case,
if there's not a process, if there's not an established process, and it's taken us 3 years now on the boardwalk, so you know, and that's been a very painful learning lesson, if you like. Should part of the work of this group be come to try and help you with a process?
Yeah. To be identified, it has to be legally permissible. So if there is any suggestion of any process that it that could apply all the judgment's conclusion, and because the right now what we have, it's the technical circular that I mentioned, that is administrative guideline within the government to ensure that there's a flow chart for government bureaus and departments to comply. And that's the process required, is to compile the CCM and to do all these technical considerations. But as a society or as HC, for instance, if there is a project that comes to our table, what we can do is really to ask the technical the departments to comply with the technical circular, right? But there is no process in this mechanism to.
But there has to be a process for a set of steps. You know, I mean.
It seems we have a catch 22,
yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
it? Exactly. I mean, I can understand what Christine's saying. Mm. It, you know, if we had an ordinance that said categorically there must be nothing new added to the harbour whatsoever, full stop, then we can't apply. But there is an overriding public need, and there therefore has to be some form of mechanism to submit. And I don't understand where this jam is, log jam is coming from.
Thomas, please. Yep.
Sorry, if I may clarify by explaining. Now, first of all, let's be clear. There is a process. That's what we are trying to do under the for the Island Eastern Boardwalk. We are commissioning a consultant to try to prepare the cogent and convincing material. We're trying to satisfy, as public officers, that we would be able to satisfy the overriding public needs test, and we would be able to defend it in public. But the way I see it is, I think, if I may perhaps share an observation of the discussion, which is, I think some members have pointed out that right now the onus, the sole onus of satisfying the or establishing the overriding public needs test is rests with the project proponent, and also there is no subsequent process by way that would stem to say that this is the overriding public needs test. So in all cases, it will have to be the project proponent doing what it has to do. In the case of government departments, they follow the technical circular, and at the end of the day, they will have to make a decision and bear all the responsibility for the decision, because there's no way that anyone would be able to tell them that you have satisfied the overriding public needs test. So any decision that you take, which they obviously for on the part of the government will take it responsibly, we will have to take it, and then we will have to bear the potential legal challenge. So I think that explains partly why, with all due respect to the commission, and all with all due respect to the society as well, it's not that the society or the commission says this is the overriding needs public needs that's being satisfied, that we would be able to go back and say that's done. So we'll have to satisfy, we'll have to bear the responsibility, and that's why we will have to go through this very tedious and perhaps very difficult process.
So Thomas, does that indicate the challenge is the proponent then? Without being rude, is the challenge the proponent?
Well, the way we see it is we have no particular position on that. If the law said so, and if the current judgment said so, so we'll just follow the technical circular, we'll just continue to do what needs to be done. And that's what we have been doing in the case of the Island Eastern Boardwalk. If that's, if all these other projects as well, if that's something which is okay with the all of you, then I think we'll just continue
it's,
to do
it's
what,
not,
we, what
it's not
doing.
Okay with us. There's people sitting around this table who disagree with what you've actually done by appointing a consultant who's come back. Now, in Christine's presentation, right at the beginning, she talked about overriding public need, and there's a clause there that it should not go beyond the minimum and should be based on cogent, convincing material. You've maximized. This isn't a minimum. We already had the minimum. We had it 7 years ago. It went through public consultation. You did a CED study which showed it was quite feasible. So now you've started again asking the public, more or less, with a shopping list. Is that, don't you think that's right, Winston? Now, so what is it you're now preparing? What is it you're going to present? Because I wouldn't support that scheme, and I'm, how many others would around this table?
And it may be unlawful. I'll give reasons at the next meeting on Monday.
Right, fine, let's park the boardwalk, yeah.
Chairman, could I make a formal proposal?
Please.
Right, and I hope someone will second me. May I demand,
suggestion.
And the word demand, no, this committee will demand from the Secretary for Justice a legal paper telling us what is the law regarding the harbor ordinance. We need to know. We're running the harbor and harbor front. We have a right to know what is the law. Don't take my word for it. I'm prejudiced. I'm the Harbor Society. But I've done my homework. You know, I had given you something. But the Secretary of Justice has given us nothing. We are guessing. But what is the law? I don't know. One has to be objective. One cannot be subjective.
But aren't they going to turn around, Winston, and say, well, it depends on, it'll be a case-by-case judgment?
You can't do that. That is not a legal advice. You starve to death. If I give that, I'll starve to death as a lawyer.
Yes.
They can't. They need to explain what is the meaning of the word overriding public need, as they understand it. They are after administering the law of Hong Kong. They must tell the public what is the law, and they must tell us. Would someone support me on this, Peter, please? And why not? What is the harm? Then we know what we are talking about.
Maggie?
Sorry.
Why not? Please explain, they have the duty to advise the government on the law, as well as the public.
Government, yes. Yep.
And so?
I think I have explained it. Sorry, Sean.
Please.
I think I have tried to suggest a way out of this. I just want to clarify. I don't want there to be any misunderstanding. As Mr. Chu has said, the Department of Justice is the legal advisor to the government, not to this particular working group. So the suggestion or the request or the demand of the Department of Justice to give its advice to this working group, I'm quite sure the answer from the Department, well, we can try.
No, if you are
asking in those terms, the answer probably would be no. But what we have been trying to offer as a way out is we would be happy, Development Bureau would be happy to be the middleman.
Okay.
If there are any specific questions that you would like to get some, what the government's view is in terms of its legal position, then we would try to get the advice from the Department of Justice, and then we would try to relate it as Development Bureau's position on the issue. Now, I would also like to clarify that it's not like that we haven't done that. I think the papers, the materials, the factual background that we have compiled for the reference of both the Commission and this working group already reflected what we have in the past been getting from the Department of Justice in terms of legal advice, at least over those projects for which the government is the project proponent.
I can see no harm in asking. No harm in asking through the Bureau.
Terminology. We're not asking for advice from the Bureau on any specific application. That would be confidential. We're advising them to tell us what is the law.
Right.
And what is wrong with that? Every citizen in Hong Kong has the right to ask for that.
No, we'll ask the Bureau to act as the intermediary.
Right. To explain what is the ordinance.
Can I suggest Thomas and Christine to help ask DOJ via Development Bureau for this advice and have this ready before our next meeting,
yes.
Because I don't want this spending too much time and then we're going back to square one after 6 months.
as I said, we would be happy to seek DOJ's advice on specific questions. So the question is, what question you want us to put to the Department of Justice? No, quite frankly, if you say what is the law, then they will just print out the picture and pass it to you, including perhaps the judgment.
No, not the process. I think we want to deal with process.
And the process is the 10%.
Yeah. We want to deal with process. I think that's part of our ongoing work is process. Winston, sorry,
just
yes.
The meaning of the term overriding public need, that it will be enough.
Okay. Definition of overriding public need.
Okay.
I would like also their view on definition of forming land, please, as well.
Sorry, I need to interject. Because at the last HC meeting, which is HC stroke 08 or stroke 2016, which is a background information note on protection of the harbour ordinance. In it, paragraph 16 sort of listed out the CFA judgment on overriding public need, the definition of it. And so, to be honest, if we would it be easier if then I seek members' agreement, then for me to send this entire paper to DOJ and then to ask them whether their definition would be aligned, because they would say that they should all government departments or even everyone should apply by the CFA ruling. So I think paragraph 16 would have already answered this question of overriding what's meant by public overriding public need. But of course, if that's the question, then we can phrase it accordingly. But I just want to tell members that, I mean, inform members that in that paragraph we already summarised that from the legal ruling.
But that's your summary. That's your summary. So I think it'd be useful to have DOJ's.
Okay.
If they choose to use that summary, that's DOJ. Look, I'm conscious of time, and people I know need to get away. I think we need to engage with DOJ through the Development Bureau, as been suggested. Definition of overriding public need, I think we should obtain. I would like to have some clarity around their view on what they see by way of forming land. Forming land, yeah, definition of forming land. I'd like also
definition of reclamation.
Forming land. Forming land. And reclamation. Let's have a definition of forming land reclamation. The other thing I'd like you all to think about, and because I think we can influence process, and I think we should be trying to influence process. I mean, Shuki's idea about perhaps using the environmental impact assessment process as an example, if you like, because it seems to me that we need to find some way to streamline simple applications. And this I think some clarity of thinking around people who are used to dealing with applications and finding the best way of getting things endorsed, etc., and getting public support, I think will be very helpful. So could you all give perhaps some thought to process, what you'd like to see done? Because, you know, coming back to my set of steps, I can't believe that we have to spend 3 years trying to prove overriding public need for a set of steps. I mean, we have to find another way of streamlining process, I think. So thoughts and suggestions around process for next time. I'll meantime work with the Development Bureau on getting some activity out of DOJ. And then next time we'll focus particularly on seeing if we can come up with some thoughts on how we might streamline process. Maggie, sorry.
It just does seem to me that it's the most extraordinary situation we find ourselves in, where nobody, or nobody, I mean in literally a body, has the right to make a decision on this. And I can quite understand why each department is very, very nervous about taking a decision on something that, proponents, it's not even a department, who cannot, you know, be sure that the decision they're taking is justified. And surely the first thing we should have done in some way or another, and I have to admit I don't know how, but when we had the Court of Final Appeal decisions and we knew the situation we were in, that the process then, how you did it, not letter, but who took the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I know why people get worried about it, because in the end, government is judge and jury.
Mm.
And therefore I know that is the risk that they take, because somebody somewhere is quite frequent wanting to take on the government, nothing to do with whatever the topic is, simply because they took a decision and they can make a fuss about it.
Yeah.
And really, I've tried to write one of these things several years ago. It's not simple. It is very difficult to write or to find the right words to try and prove overriding public need.
Exactly.
It's very, very difficult to do. But I did end up with a large amount of sympathy for the government department person, head of, who has to say, yes, okay, we'll have a go and hope. But I do think we need to find a fairly sensible project and take it to that level and see what happens.
Well, let's time next time talk about my set of steps and how we get those through. Winston, did you want to have anything to say? Which question? Sorry. Maggie's question. Oh, sorry. Yes. Yep, 2 minutes.
I was faced with a big problem. Normally, it's the government that makes important decisions for the community. But my enemy at that time was the government. They wanted to destroy the harbour. So I can't leave the decision-making to the government because they are the offender. It's a private member's bill. I could not create a harbour authority because you cannot make the government spend $1. That is the rule. There could not be an independent tribunal to make the decision. I tried to give the power to the Legislative Council, Section 4. It was deleted because the Legislative Council makes laws. It doesn't make executive decisions. So that was deleted. And I couldn't go to the town planning board either for many reasons. So they have no voice in the reclamation, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the board for 6 years. I never heard the dirty word reclamation. Mm-hmm. It never came before us. Still don't. So the only way possible was to invent a legal presumption against reclamation, leaving the ultimate decision-making to the law courts, which is not a good idea. Mm. It wastes too much time and money.
Yep.
We are left with a vacuum. Who is the decision-maker?
Okay, discussion.
But the caveat, it has got to be someone able to say no, even to the government. Obviously. So think, what is the answer?
Okay. Proponent, next time as well.
Mr. Chair, may I?
Sorry, yes, Christine, yes, sure.
Mr. Chi actually mentioned the intention of the law drafting process, and I think it's actually a very good point that members may actually think whether creation of a body to that extent would be a good idea. And the creation of such body would entail some arrangements, right? But at least what Mr. Chi suggested was the creation of a new body, and that body has to be recognized by the law to be a credible and the only body to make such decision. So I think we should ride on this suggestion and think along this trail as well.
Bring back the authority. All right. Thank you very much. We'll have dialogue with DOJ, but think about process if you would. Who might be a potential proponent in the future as well. Thank you.